our KHDK NBA Insider presented by Stockton Honda. Sam, let's start with LeBron James. He's a very calculated individual. What does this public plea for help mean?
I was wanting to hear more about Ken and leaving room for Jesus.
You see what I'm saying?
See, you got to listen to yesterday's show. You got to listen to 130. There was it started as a music conversation.
Yes, it did.
It segued into slow dancing.
Yes. Middle school dances, right?
Middle school dances. And because you said that girl in middle school had a great smile.
Well, no, I said that we danced together.
Yes.
I added that she had a great smile. We danced to the All for One song that started the whole segment.
Sorry, Sam.
And then
all good.
Sam said, "You gotta." Ken said, "When you slow dance, the chaperones would say you gotta leave room for Jesus in between.
Yes, you gotta have enough space."
It's good advice. I mean, as someone whose wife is a middle school teacher, I hear stories, so that's not a bad idea.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, right, right. But to your question, Damien, you know, less interesting topic, but we'll go with it anyway.
Sam, LeBron, before you answer the LeBron question, did you save room for Jesus while you slow danced?
I didn't. I'm having a guilty conscience now. I mean, you're bringing me back to the middle. There was no room for anybody. LeBron, how do I segue this in? LeBron has room for Jesus, and LeBron, what kind of message he sends these days, and so... I'm just glad that LeBron is a superstar at a time when social media is at its height and has evolved to a place where if this was the 80s, you know, back in the MJ era and Magic and before that, you know, with Larry and those guys, I don't know how he would get these messages out, but he is just the king, no pun intended, of, you know, of sending messages. And so he came down on Dave Griffin in their front office recently saying that, you know, it's go time and they need to upgrade the roster. And he's kind of walked that stuff back, but he's getting restless. You know, he loses to the Warriors, loses to the Spurs, and you know, drops the game to New Orleans without Anthony Davis. He's obviously getting pretty antsy.
Yeah, and Sam, it seems like they don't have many options unless you're doing something bigger and moving another important piece in their championship puzzle, whether it was Kyrie or Kevin Love. But, you know, there's talk today of expressed interest maybe with the Knicks and Carmelo. He says they need another playmaker. What can they even do? I don't think they've got a lot of room to do things, do they?
They have. I don't have the bookkeeping right in front of me. The Kyle Korver deal, I believe, ate up a lot of flexibility when it comes to exceptions. And so that hindered them even more, even though I like that trade. You know, LeBron, this was to me the toughest part. If you're Dave Griffin, their GM, and, you know, you don't really want to hear the Monday morning quarterbacking, so to speak, from your franchise centerpiece. Because he brought up specific names, right? Where, like, he talked about Ray Felton, who went to the Clippers and has actually been really good and is now helping them survive without Chris Paul. He started going down the line. You know, I heard earlier in the show as I was streaming you guys on this flight, I'm just hopped down to L.A. here. And Ken, I think you mentioned you guys were talking about Darren Collison.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. There's probably not a deal to be made there, but, like, that is what they want, something like that. They've got a rookie in Kay Felder who's got a lot of potential, but he's just super, super, super green. And LeBron is tired, and I don't blame him. I mean, as good as Kyrie is, it's like it's this weird quandary, right, where Kyrie is just not a playmaker, man. He's just a scorer. That's what he is. And LeBron's got to be the point guard. He doesn't want to be the point guard all the time. And in the playoffs, that's not going to matter because he's going to have to do it and the rotations get shorter. But, I mean, they still got 3 months between now and the postseason. Obviously, he wants some help.
Is this the case of them just missing a player like J.R. Smith? Is he that vital to what they're doing there, or do they really need to go out? Even if J.R. Smith is there, do they still need to go out and find someone else to
appease?
Yeah,
I mean, from an attrition standpoint, it would help to have J.R., but Kyle, for now, kind of fills that role of J.R., and J.R. is not much of a ball handler, playmaker, rather. I mean, he can defend, and he can knock down shots, and he can go ISO for himself, but LeBron is talking about a playmaker, and he's emphasized the fact that it doesn't even have to be a point guard. And that's today's NBA where you've got, I was looking at it yesterday, Blake Griffin for example, comes back, and one thing people, I think, don't really realize about Blake's game is that, like, if he wants to be, like, Blake can actually run your freaking offense. I mean, he can be a playmaker. He's a very good passer, and you can kind of go, you know, point forward type style. LeBron just wants help. You know, JR being out isn't necessarily tied to that. It's more a case of Matthew Dellavedova going to the Milwaukee Bucks in free agency. And, you know, that's something where they lost a guy. And I feel like there's another name that I'm leaving out. I mean, it's just the way things have fallen. All of a sudden, too much falls on LeBron's shoulders.
Sam Amick, USA Today, our KHDK NBA insider with us here on the Lowdown. Sam, could the Cavs searching for someone be at the expense of Kevin Love, or does it have to be in addition to those three already?
No, it's got to be in addition to. I mean, this is a complimentary piece. This is, you know, this is a scrap heap type thing where, trying to think of a good example. I mean, there have been, you know, I feel like every season we see a move that at the time we thought it was nothing. And we didn't think much of it. And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, that guy's actually part of what they're doing. It just kind of injects some life. But I mean, that's the fun part about general, right? Where, you know, you got guys who are talented who just, you know, haven't gotten the opportunity. And, you know, you don't see what they might be able to bring until you get them under your umbrella. So this is not a big blockbuster type trade that he is pushing for. This is a, you know, just, oh, you know, keep your eyes open for opportunities and get something at a high potential, low cost type situation.
So, Sam, while the Cavs seem, at least for the moment, a little bit vulnerable, they haven't played their best basketball in the last 2 weeks or so. Even with that, is anybody in the East ready to take them out? Because it doesn't seem like it to me.
You know, what's crazy is how quickly this stuff changes, Jay. Like, Toronto was that team for the entire season. And, you know, it's the latest time when it sounds funny. I end up taking it personally a little bit when, like, I swing and miss on projections. So it's like I started being a believer in the Raptors and saying that consistently, and then, you know, they've fallen off a little bit, and I got frustrated because you think you have a good eye for it, and then you just, for whatever reason, teams just, they can't stay at the same level. So Toronto falls off. Boston is still super fun and having a good year, but they've fallen off a bit, and they just lost kind of one of those games where you can take something out of it against Washington. So that's a long-winded way of saying that the Wizards, surprisingly, might be that team right now. Mm. They have got the best record in the Eastern Conference since December 1st, which I think probably sneaks up on most people, especially out west where we're not watching them all that closely. John Wall, Bradley Beal are playing at a crazy high level. John, in particular, I think, you know, we have our weekly MVP ranking, and I'm starting to think, you know, John needs to be in there at 5-6. We do a top five, but John's playing, you know, really, really good basketball. So the Wizards, if I had to pick one, that's probably the team right now.
You know, Sam, just go to the other side. Speaking of the Western Conference, the Kings, they are still mathematically in the mix there for that eighth spot. What do you make of what's happening with the number seven spot on down in the Western Conference?
Just wide open, Ken. I mean, it's wide open. You know, it's easy for us to be snarky and kind of say, you know, who wants to be the sacrificial lamb for the Warriors and the Spurs. But, I mean, you know, it's nothing to sneeze at getting into the playoffs, whether it's the Kings or, to be honest, that, you know, whether it's the Pelicans. It's only been a couple of years for New Orleans, but, like, you look at that team and the fact that just a couple of years ago, again, an instance where we get projections wrong, most of us thought that Anthony Davis and the Pelicans were primed to be, like, the fourth or fifth best team in the West. And they went the exact opposite way. They've just fallen off a cliff. But this season, they're still in the mix. And I think a win like the one they had the other night over the Cavs, where some of the role guys, you know, get maybe some confidence boosts. It's just, you know, whether it's, I mean, that's all well and good, but Pelicans, Kings, T-Wolves, you know, even the Lakers, you know, all these squads that still have a crack at it. You know, I don't know who ends up getting it, but I can't remember a year where there was so much parity. We've had plenty of times where there's parity across the entire conference, but this is bizarre how it's just, you know, 8 to 15, you know, almost the same story.
And Sam, we'll move up just a little bit, though, there in those standings. Blake Griffin returned for the Clippers last night. They lost, but what did you think of Blake being back, and how do you think it affects the Clippers moving forward, who will still be without Chris Paul?
So, I mean, great news for them. Those guys, I wrote a quick little analysis the other day on the Clippers, and the way I kind of put it was, like, the Clippers are like that friend who it's always hard to talk to them because every single time you call them, there's something going on. There's some drama. There's some obstacle. There's some challenge. Like, it's never an easy conversation with that friend, and that's the Clippers. And they, you know, the good news, though, for them is getting Blake back is huge, especially because all in all, they survived his absence pretty well. They were 10-8 after he went down, had right knee surgery, had some stuff removed and an arthroscopic surgery. So they go 10-8 without him, but then Chris Paul goes down, tearing the ligament in his thumb. And, you know, you try to look back at history and find out, have they ever been through this before? The Clippers kind of one stretch where they need to remember how they survived in this type of a situation was a couple years ago, January 2014, they went, I think it was 12-6 with Blake Griffin leading the way and without Chris Paul. And kind of the playmaking that I mentioned a little bit ago in reference to Blake, like, that was the fun part of that stretch. They had the second best offense in the league during that span without Chris Paul, which is crazy. Now, the one huge qualifier, though, guys, is that, you know, that's all well and good, but you got Blake coming off a knee surgery. So you can't expect him to be at tip-top shape and elite level right away. You know, they dropped their first game out of the gate to Philly last night with him, and he's on limited minutes. So, you know, they're in an okay spot, though. They managed to hold on to home court. As far as being in the top four in the West, they didn't fall off the cliff as much as I thought they were going to when those two guys went down. So they're trying to survive.
Sam, you said you were on your way to LA. You working on something down there?
No, I'm actually kind of an aberration. We, our company partners up with the NBA for a health conference. And so that's down here tomorrow. So I think I'll be running into the Adam Silver types. I think Jerry West is going to be speaking down here. Hopefully he's feeling up to it. He actually just went through a medical scare the other day, but I hear he's feeling well again. I think Chris Paul in his ailing state is also taking part. So it should be fun. It's always nice to connect with folks outside the arena. It's going to be just, I think, panel upon panel talking about health. And shockingly, guys, they didn't call on the sports writer to give speeches about health. I didn't get that invite. I'm just here to hang out.
Well, let's go back, and I'd like to hear some of the stories that your wife, as a middle school teacher, has to tell about some of those dances.
Area, man, they're listening. The kids are listening. I can't rap.
Oh,
I can't.
See? Okay.
Come on,
okay,
Ken.
Okay.
You know better, man.
Sorry, my bad.
You know
we
better.
About it last week, though, I think. It's Samuel Jackman Middle School. We just had a great time at that career day. That was the one. Yeah, I didn't mention that on our last visit. So don't be offended, Ken. You know, I have an in that you don't have when it comes to the Jack. But yeah. But even my own middle school experience, I think somebody referenced All for One. You guys are sparking memories of Belle Biv DeVoe in my head.
And, see?
Middle school ballads, yes.
Sam, you got the new edition miniseries on DVR at the house?
Man, they got a miniseries?
Yeah, man.
Don't
it started
tell me,
last night.
I couldn't see last night because it came on.
Oh,
late.
My gosh. Who's doing it? What channel is that?
It's on BET, so it's very
like
low
it.
Budget.
But it's true and aggressive, they say.
3 days, three
I
nights.
Like
three
it.
Nights.
Yeah. We were like a water skiing family growing up, and so my uncle and our family had ski boats, and we'd be hitting the lake every weekend, and we were always blessed in that new edition. That's fantastic.
You learned something new. I thought the most interesting thing I would learn about Sam Amick today was the fact he doesn't like to shave. I learned that. I learned that listening to the A to Z podcast with Jeff Zilgit. I learned that this morning. I thought that would be the most interesting thing.
What's on?
You got as a radio man, you should know better than anybody that sometimes I don't want to give up too much. Sometimes you're just reading the scripts for an ad.
Completely understand, my brother. Completely understand. Hey, but since we're, you know, kind of having a more lighthearted conversation, this kind of popped in my head, Sam, thinking about Russell Westbrook. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about how competitive he is and the kind of demeanor that he has, which feels like it's really similar to Kobe Bryant, that singular-minded focusness. Does Russell Westbrook have any friends in the NBA?
That's a good question. I was going to say Russell Westbrook and lighthearted. Those two things do not go hand in hand.
It's very true.
You know what? He's got a lot of people who respect him, and he has friendships. Like, I actually, this is going to sound terrible. Wikipedia the other day told me that he's very good friends with Kevin Love. I don't know how I stumbled on that, but, you know, they went to UCLA together. They used to be roommates. So that's one guy that comes to mind. A little side story I thought was pretty funny, assuming it's true, is because it had been reported, was that they used to fight over the air conditioner and the heater. You know, one guy wanted it hotter. One. So I can only imagine those kind of battles with Russell Westbrook. But, I mean, he's salty, man. He is. I mean, what's crazy, though, is I actually follow him on Snapchat because, you know, I'm trying to keep up with the kids. And he's like, he's super chill on Snapchat. He'll sit there and sing into the camera, and like, he looks like a fun guy who'd be a good time to hang out with. But once he gets inside that arena, he's a different cat, and you don't see him fraternizing with guys on the floor. You just don't. He, you know, everybody made a big deal out of it when he ignored Kevin Durant the first time they played each other. And the more I've studied him, it's like, wait a minute, like, he ignores everybody. That's not even something special for Kevin. He's a robot, goes out there and tries to destroy you.
So do you think it bothered him that he didn't get in as an all-star starter? He's going to make the team. There's no doubt that. But he didn't. Someone had to be left out. It was him. Do you think that bothered him?
Yeah, I do. I mean, he won't tell you that. But, yeah, I think it probably did, especially because you're losing out to the guy who kind of recruited your co-star away, you know what I mean, and Steph Curry. and I feel bad for him. Because it does, I don't know. I know the All-Star game, fans get mad at me. They give me crap on Twitter about, you know, it's a fan game. Who cares what you guys think? We this is what we want. This is what we want. And it's got to be fun. But if I'm a player, like, no, like, All-Stars should be who deserves it based on their play. Like, not because, like, somebody was arguing Paul Millsap versus Joel Embiid. I'm not in the Embiid territory category because I just don't think he's played enough. He's amazing. But, somebody was like, well, his game is so much more fun and entertaining than Millsap, so he should be in the All-Star game. That makes zero sense to me. So if you're Russ, you're kind of sitting there like, okay, great. You know, you guys like Steph Curry more. The fans, you know, he's more popular with the fans. He's more fan-friendly. And sure enough, that gets you an All-Star starter berth. I think that's kind of rough.
If you want a full breakdown of who Sam Amick and Jeff Zoget think should be the All-Star Reserves, you can check out the latest edition of the A to Z podcast. Sam, we appreciate your time. As always, tell the Adam Silver and Jerry West likes down there, we said hello.
Absolutely, boys. Talk to you next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Sam Amick, our KHDK NBA insider.